Sir, glad to have you here today. Is your mic on there, Brother Matt?
I believe it is.
Okay, yes, it is.
Okay.
All right, let's all give careful attention to Brother Matt as he brings the Word of God today. Good to see you, brother.
This is for you.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning again. It is a privilege for my family and I to be here again, and I didn't say this in Sunday school, but I did want to say this now. We appreciate you guys. We really do. You have been with us through changes with getting Josiah in our family. You've been with us through changes. I think I just dropped some back here. Nope, maybe I didn't. You've been with us through changes from Ghana to Trinidad. And now again, you're with us through changes from Trinidad to here, hopefully for a short time. But we'll see how God works that out. But we love you guys, we do. And you're getting ready this morning to come, and we're like, Josiah, you like this church. This is the church you like to be at here. And we do. We love to be here. It's like a second home for us here at Tabernacle. And it's a privilege for us to be here today. How many of you have ever had the question asked to you, how big is God? Anybody have that question asked to you? How big is God? Well, I think of the old song that I used to sing as a child, and sometimes I still do. My God is so big, right? So strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Remember that one? Yeah. I'm sure you still sing that in your junior church and things like that. But I looked online, and I found the answers like, he is big enough to go wherever he wants, do whatever he wants, and create whatever he wants. Also found an answer online, he is bigger than what our minds could ever imagine. Right? VeggieTales says that God is bigger than the boogeyman, right? Bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. Well, yes, he is, but that's a fun answer there, okay? But I'd like to look with you this morning at this answer. God is big enough to help us with our problems. God is big enough to help us with our problems. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Romans chapter 8. And folks, I'm not going to preach a passage that is not well known to you, for sure. I'm going to preach a passage that is very well known to you. Okay, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 28 to 30. And why don't we read that, and we'll pray, and then we'll get into what God has laid on my heart for us this morning. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Let's have a word of prayer together, and then we'll get into this message. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here behind this pulpit at Tabernacle Baptist Church. And Lord, we do so much appreciate this church. We love them. We are glad to be here and fellowshipping with our friends today. Lord, as we open up your word again this morning, I pray that you would help us to not only hear the word spoken, as James says, but that we would do it. We would put it into our life. We would apply it. We would practice it as we go out these doors. Father, I do ask that you would give me clarity of thought, that you would give me the words to say, Lord, and that the words I say are your words, not mine. that I would be truthful, that I would be following your Spirit's leading as I preach this message today. Father, go before us, use us in this time together, and Lord, teach us as we are together today. In your name, amen. I'd like to share 3 points with you this morning. The first point I want to share with you is that God's plan for you is bigger than your problems. God's plan for you is bigger than your problems, and we see that in verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." The words "we know" has the idea of to perceive with the mind, to understand. It means that we understand that everything that happens to us in this life are under the control of an infinitely wise being. We understand that these trials that seem to hinder us are so overruled as to further the perfect ending to them that love God. And I think Pastor stole my thunder today, and that perfect ending is to be conformed to the image of his Son. We understand these things. Go back a few chapters to Romans chapter 5 and verse number, and starting in verse number 3. Actually, start up here in verse number 1. Just follow with me for a minute. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in" what? Tribulations. You know what that is? That means problems. That means trials. That means persecutions. We glory in those. We glory in those. Why do we glory in those? Because we know that God's plan for us is bigger than our problems.
Amen.
Right? We glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh what, folks? Patience. The more we go through problems in our life, the more we learn to be patient in those problems. And the more we learn to trust God in those problems. And patience works what? Experience. And experience works hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Folks, we know, we understand that God brings issues and problems and trials to our life for one reason: to help us trust him, to help us be patient, but more than that, to help us be changed or conformed into his image. Folks, our problems are, God's plan is bigger than our problems. We know. Go back to Romans 8. Jump down with me, and you know these verses. Romans 8, starting in verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, or no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, God's plans for you is bigger than our problems, and we know, we understand that. We know that all things. I'm going to ask you a question here. What does the word all mean? It means all, right? It means everything. It means all, everything, fully, completely, everything that happens to us, right? All of our affliction and trials, all the persecution and calamities, they are appointed for our well-being to grow into the image of God in our life. I want you to think with me for a minute. I want you to think about Joseph back in Genesis, right? Hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, put in prison for no reason, falsely accused, forgotten in prison. But you know, in all of those things that I read through the account of Joseph in Genesis, you know what it says? The Lord was with him. Brings his family to Egypt, his father, his brothers, their families, they all come to Egypt to see him. And he says, I'll take care of you. His father dies. And now what? His brothers are afraid of him, right? Because now, with all the things that we have done against him, Joseph's going to get us back. What does Joseph say in Genesis 50, verse 20? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 says, And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Ephesians 1:4 says, According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Folks, we know that all things work together for bad. No. For what? For good. Is it always easy to remember that, folks? Is it always easy to remember that whatever happens in our life works for good? No. Should we remember that everything that happens to us in life is for good? Yes. The words work together in this verse is an active tense. It means it keeps on working for good. It keeps on working for our good. It means to be a fellow worker, to cooperate with, to help with. All things shall contribute to our good. For good has the meaning of for our benefit, for our welfare. Folks, I want you to remember that God's plan for you is bigger than your problems, because all things that happen to you is under the hand of God, and he's working it for your good. I like David. David writes in Psalm 119, verse 67, Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept your word. It says in Psalm 119, 71, It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Folks, all things work together for good to them that love God. I searched this word love. I studied out this word love. And the word love means to find our joy in something. It means a direction of the will and finding one's joy in something. Folks, who are we to find our joy in? God, the Lord, the Master. And we find our joy in Him. We love Him. We show our love to Him when we keep His commandments. God's plan for you is bigger than your problem. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Nehemiah 1:5 says, and he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. I want you to think about this. When things happen to people in our life, right? When things happen to us in our life, I want you to think about this. To some, it leads to complaining. But to us, it should lead to peace. To some, it leads to rebellion. For us, it should lead to submission. For some, it leads to anger. For us, it should lead to being calm. To some, it means impatience. To us, it should mean we are patient. To some, it means to hate. God, why are you done this to me? Why are you doing this to me? I don't understand. I don't like you. That should not be our case, folks. It should lead to love for us, not hate. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Folks, what's it mean to love God? How are we to love God? How are we to love God? Hold your place here and go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hold your place here in Romans and go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Start in verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Folks, I studied this, and it says, with all thy heart has the meaning of undivided heart. Love above all others. Folks, when things happen to you, yes, we know in our minds that God's plan is bigger than our problems. We know that, but it should lead us to love God above everything else, knowing that our situation is under His control. It should be an undivided heart, God above all else. We're to love Him with all of our heart, but yet we're to love Him with all of our soul, our whole being. And we should love Him with all of our might, with everything that we have in us, to love Him with everything we are. Do you love God that way? Do you love Him that way? Oh yeah, I love Him that way when things don't happen to me in my life. No. Talking about problems. God is big enough to help you with your problems. Do you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, even in the midst of your problems? Yeah, I love God. I love God after my problems. No, I'm not asking you after your problems. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind in the midst of the problem? He wants that love from you guys. He wants that love from you in the middle of your problems. He wants to know that you trust him. He wants you to know that you love him. He wants to know that you will follow him no matter what in the midst of your issues. Because, folks, God's plan is bigger than your problems. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The word called means invited or appointed. Folks, I want you to think about this. We are called from bondage to liberty. We are called from darkness to light. We are called from the company of sinful men to the fellowship of Christ. We are called from the trust in our own righteousness to a dependence on his righteousness. We are called from the here and now to the sweet by and by. Folks, God's plan for you is bigger than any problem you will ever have in your life. Number two, what's the process? What's the process behind God's plan? What's the process behind God's plan? Look with me at verse 29 and 30. Romans 8, 29 and 30. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Folks, the first process behind God's plan is he foreknew us. He foreknew us. He knew beforehand. He was acquainted with us before time began. Doesn't that encourage you? Amen. Doesn't that encourage you that even in the midst of my problem, God knew that I would be in this situation right now? God knew that I would go through this in my life. He knew beforehand that this would happen. I like the verse in Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee as a prophet to the nations. 1 Peter 1:2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be to you, and peace be multiplied. God knew you. God knew you. But folks, there's something that scares me about this foreknowledge. There's something that scares me about this foreknowledge, and I want you to just hold your place here, please, and go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. God knew us, yes, and I praise God that he knew us. Matthew chapter 7, and please start with me in verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never, what's the next word, folks? Knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. "Oh Lord, don't I can get into heaven because I went to church every Sunday. I never knew you. Oh Lord, I can get into heaven because every Sunday I gave money to the offering. I never knew you. Oh Lord, I got one for you, Lord. I can get to heaven because I taught people on the mission field. Never knew you." Folks, let me ask you this. Are you foreknown of God? Are you part of God's family? Can you sit here today and say, "When I die, I know for sure I'm going to heaven"? Not, "When I die, I hope I'm going to heaven." Or not, "When I die, I think I'm going to heaven." Do you know for sure that when you die, you will go to be with God forever? If you're here today and you say, "I don't know that. I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven or not." Don't leave this place without knowing. Don't leave this place without knowing, because after the service is over and you get in your car, it might be too late. Or before tonight's service, when you can talk to Pastor Long, it might be too late. Do it now. Know God before you leave. He already knows you. Know him. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He decreed beforehand. He knew. He determined beforehand. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:5. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11. Whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated. Whom he predestinated, he also called. Calling is a divine invitation to participate in the blessings of redemption. He called you to be his child. He called you to be part of his kingdom forever. He called you. Folks, those who reject the call are lost. Those who accept it are saved. Let me just stop here for a minute. And let me just tell you that we are not called to afflictions. I know the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But that's not enough, folks. We are not called just to persecution. We are called to be patient under persecutions. We're all going to go through trials, are we not? We're all going to go through changes, transitions. We're all going to go through those. And we already know that we're going to go through those because God said it. Those who live godly in me will suffer persecution. We're going to do it. But we're called to be patient under the persecutions. Folks, I can talk to you about this. Calling comes by hearing of the gospel. It doesn't come by works, and we know that. It comes only through faith in the death of Christ for our sins. Whom he called, he justified. He rendered just or innocent. He declared himself us to be righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Folks, let me say it this way. The righteous God became sin, so that sinners can be made righteous. The righteous God became sin so that sinners can become righteous. Are you declared righteous by God? For whom he did predestinate, he called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. And this is talking about God's plan for the whole thing, that we are brought to heaven to live with him forever. That's the process, folks. Think about it. God's plan is bigger than your problems. God has a process for the plan. Predestinated. Called. Justified. Glorified. And one more quickly. The purpose behind the plan. Go back to verse 28. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the purpose, folks. That's the purpose in the problems that we experience in our life. To be conformed to his image. I'm going to tell you, folks, it's not easy. It is not easy to go through problems and be conformed to the image of God. Because my nature, as I said in Sunday school, when I go through things in my life, my nature is to fight. My nature is to yell. My nature is to say it's not fair. But my nature should be to be conformed to the image of God through the problem. To be jointly formed. To be fashioned like him. And folks, I want you to remember, this conformation, this conforming is not just outward. This conforming starts inside. Think of a butterfly. Starts out as a caterpillar, right? Starts out as a caterpillar. But when he goes into that cocoon, everything changes. It starts from the inside. God changes the inside of that thing. He gets wings. He comes out totally new. And that's what God wants for us, folks. He wants us to be conformed to his image. Not just outside, but inside. It starts inside. Paul says in Romans 13, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts thereof. He says in Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Folks, God's plan for you is bigger than your problems. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God has a process in the plan. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. But you know what? God has a purpose for the plan. And that's to be conformed to the image of his Son. And I was thinking of this. Sometimes I try to end the message with some kind of song that goes along with it. And as I was thinking of this, something came to mind. Have you ever heard of Bill Gaither? Huh? Bill Gaither? Let me just sing this song for you. I'll probably sing the chorus, the second verse and the chorus, just for time and for my time. But listen to the song. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the giants of fear and unbelief. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my hang-ups, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Folks, how big is your God? I preached at a church a few weeks ago, and I told the guy, the pastor, the title was, How Big Is God? And in the bulletin, he put, How Big Is Your God? And I want to ask you that. How big is your God? Does your God have a plan that is bigger than your problem? Does your God have a process behind the plan? And does your God have a purpose in the plan to be conformed to His image? Folks, God is bigger than anything that we can experience. Let's show people that. Let's show people who our God really is. Doesn't matter what we're going through. Let's show them how big God is. Father, I thank you for the day that you've given to us. Father, I thank you for this time that I've had to preach your word. Sunday school about transitions. And that we need to be ready. We need to follow God in our life. But Lord, now with our problems. Lord, we thank you that you had a God's plan was bigger than our problems. That you had a process behind the plan to get us ready to bear those problems. And Lord, that your ultimate purpose in the plan was to be conformed to your image. And Lord, we thank you so much that you are bigger than any problem, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that we can or cannot see, whether it's fear, unbelief, changes in our life. Lord, we thank you that you are a big God and can help us with any problem in our life. Father, thank you for this day. Help us to have a great afternoon. And Lord, bring us back to your house tonight and learn more from your word from Pastor Joel. Lord, just go before us now in your name. Amen. Pastor Don?